this chapter in Deuteronomy 28 is one of the most amazing chapters. It's a chapter that you might want to mark in your mind, one that you want to remember to go back to. Because in this chapter, the Lord lays out the promises for his blessing, and he lays out the promises for cursing. And he almost puts them side by side. So at the end, it all comes down to a choice. Are you going to follow the Lord or not? That's what it really comes down to. So I think the impact is really felt better in this chapter when it's taken as a whole. And we stopped last time kind of partway into the cursing there. And that was a depressing place to stop. So this time I thought we would kind of jump into chapter 28 at the beginning and just kind of take a walk through and get the whole chapter in, Lord willing, as we get a chance to just go through a few things here that really stand out in the passage. And we'll get a chance to jump in. So let's go into chapter 28 and verse 1. We've got some ground to cover on this one. It says, "Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commands which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth." So don't miss the qualifications here in order for Israel at this point. The Lord says, I'm going to take you and put you in the promised land, and I'm going to raise you high above all the nations of the earth. Not just a little, but high above all of them. Now the qualifications were you had to diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. And I love the way the Lord says this. It's the voice of the Lord your God. These are the words of God. You know, sometimes we talk about the Bible being the word of God. We think about it as kind of an object. These are the words, the voice of God when you get into his word. And he said you need to diligently obey that voice. And also he said to observe carefully all his commandments. And there's a reason he's saying that. We'll get that when we get to the passages a little further. But he said you need to observe carefully. And it's because we have a tendency to drift and to wander. But he says you need to be very careful in your observance and your obedience to not just some of his commands. Notice it says to all of his commands. And there's a reason he's made it that specific. And we'll get a chance again to look at that further. Verse 2, it says, "And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God." And we talked about that last time, that they're actually going to come and overtake you. So it's like there's so many blessings coming, you just can't believe them all. You can't get out of the way of them. They're just going to keep coming and coming, and you'll lose your breath in trying to keep up with it. Okay? So the Lord said, "This is how much I want to bless you for obedience." Okay, so he goes on, verse 3, here the blessings start. "Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country." So it doesn't matter where you are, wherever you are, God's going to be blessing you. Okay, "Blessed shall be the fruit of your body," that is your children. You will be blessed with children. And we know in the Old Testament, you know, it was such an honor for them to have children, especially the sons that would pass on the family line. So God is saying, I want to bless you that way. I want you to be blessed. And these are good indications, too, as you look at this and kind of keep this in the back of your mind. Look at our society where we are today and see, are we in the place of God's blessings? Are we losing a lot of that? Okay? So it says here he wants to bless the fruit of the body, the produce of your ground, and that means for the farmers, that means a bumper crop every year. Wow, can you imagine that? Yeah, for anybody who's been involved in farming, what an awesome promise from God. You don't have to worry about nothing. You just obey the Lord. Every year, a bumper crop. Wow, amazing. So I guess the challenge would be, is it going to be better than last year or less than last year? But it's going to be a bumper either way, you know? Then it says, "The increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flock." So your animals are going to be increasing and increasing and increasing. They're going to have the natural, normal reproduction they should have, and your flocks will grow, your herds will grow. Nothing to worry about. Do you catch that? Nothing to worry about. Amazing. "Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl." We talked about that being the food on the table. So you're not going to be hurting for food. You'll always have food in the basket. You're ready to eat. Your kneading bowl, you'll always have something ready to cook. Anything that you need there for your meals, it's all provided. "Blessed you shall be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out." So I was thinking in our way of looking at it, our going in and coming is kind of for us that are working, you know, you go drive to work and then you drive home. So what's going on when you're driving to work? God's blessing you. What's going on when you're driving home? God's blessing you. And all the way through as well. But in your coming and your going, God's blessing you. For some of you that stay home, the moms, I was thinking, how does that apply to you? When you're getting ready in the morning, that's your going. You know, it's blessing. God's blessing you in what's going on. As you're preparing food for the kids, family, whatever you're doing, God's blessing you. And when you retire at night and get ready for bed, that's your coming in. God's blessing you. So everywhere you turn, blessing, blessing, blessing. As it says, those blessings will overtake you. Verse 7, the Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. You will see these things happen. They shall come out against you one way, and they will flee before you seven ways. They can't wait to get away. They're running as fast as they can to get away from you after they come out to fight you. Because they realize you got a power on your side they cannot handle, and they've got to go. Amazing picture of our God. Verse 8, the Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses. So, and I thought our storehouses, we don't really maybe have the big barns if you're not farming today. Where's our storehouses? It's the grocery store. So the grocery stores are filled with food all the time. I don't know if you realize what a blessing it is that we actually have food in the stores. They said if they ever stopped the trucks from traveling in this country, you know, as far as some crazy crisis or something happening, do you know how long it would take for the grocery stores to be completely empty? 3 days. 3 days, and it would be all gone. Wow, we just can't fathom that. We're used to walking in, seeing everything full on the shelves. You might see one shelf missing your favorite stuff, and you get upset about that. But, you know, here it is. Everything is there for us in this nation. So we've experienced some of these blessings, and I believe it's because of the past we've had, where our founding fathers did honor the Lord. They did have a love for Him. But here we have the Lord, it says in verse 8, He commands the blessing on these things. How do you like that idea? God's commanding blessing to be in your life. Wow, what a promise from the Lord. So it shall be in your storehouses, in all to which you set your hand. So whatever you do, whatever you plan on doing to take care of your family, whatever it is, God's going to lay His hand a blessing on that. He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The land itself is a gift from God. He is handing to them, okay? The place where you and I live is a gift from the Lord. We're thankful that the Lord has made provision for us to have a place to live and have our families and be able to watch over them. Thank you so much, Lord, for those gifts. Verse 9, the Lord will establish you as a holy people to Himself, just as He has sworn to you. Now here's a condition, reminder again. If you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in His ways. Okay? So the Lord said, I'm going to establish you. You are going to be my holy people. And no one's going to be able to change that. I will establish you in that. Again, tremendous blessings from the Lord. Now He said there, if you notice, and this is something to kind of keep in mind in verse 9, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in His ways. This all has to do with walking in God's ways. Now how do you know if you're doing that? If you're doing what God said. So He said, keep my commandments. Let's do what I'm telling you to do. So if you're living according to what God's word tells you to do, you're walking in His ways. Now hold on to that thought because it comes up again here and the Lord puts the pieces together for us. Verse 10, that all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord. How many people is that? All the peoples of the earth. We're talking about everybody in civilization here. They will know that you are called by the name of the Lord. And look at their response. They shall be afraid of you. Now here's an interesting thing to consider. The way a society treats Christians shows how they feel about God based on this right here. So look at our nation right now. How do they feel about Christians? That's how they feel about God. Because we are His. You notice other groups of people, different religious groups, they're not being put a finger on them. They're not being centered out, you know, and called crazy folks on the radical extreme, stuff like that. Christians are the ones who are being tagged that way in our society. So what does our society think of God? Same thing. Do you notice when you bring up the Lord in a conversation with someone, what is the feeling you get? It's pretty uncomfortable, right? You know what? Our society, our culture is very uncomfortable about God. They don't rejoice when you bring up the name Jesus. They get nervous. They're convicted. There's heavy conviction, and they don't want that feeling of conviction. They want to get God out of the way so that conviction is no longer felt by them. They want comfort and peace. It's an artificial thing, but that's what they're looking for. And that's why the good news we have is come close to the Lord. You'll find amazing peace, peace that can't be shattered. Yeah, so the Lord here is telling them, when you're following me, the way that people see you is how they're going to really see me. When God lifts these people up and there isn't any military that can come against them, they're untouchable. Everybody that tries runs away scared to death. The Lord says when they hear your name, they're going to be scared. Wow, what a promise. Now, we don't see that right today because Israel didn't fulfill that all the way. They got to a certain point and then they turned around and ran the opposite way. All they had to do is follow the ways of the Lord. Just do things his way. Verse 11. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body. Okay? So he's saying it's going to be the same thing here. I want to bless the fruit of your body. I want to bless your kids. He said in the increase of your livestock, in the produce of your ground. So it's kind of like a bumper crop of animals and produce in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. Again, that gift from the Lord of the property of the land. Verse 12, the Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens. He's going to open the heavens, and what's he going to pour out? To give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. So the rain will be there. When you're in an agricultural community, you want the rain to come at the right time. And God promises that. It'll be on schedule, exactly when you need it. Not when you go get the crops and you can't get in the fields, it's too muddy. It'll be right on time, right on target. Again, amazing blessing. And I was thinking, you know, the rain here, he talks about coming on the land. Water is a picture of the word in scriptures there. So the picture of the God's always going to bless you with his word. It'll always be there. It'll always be coming. You'll always be able to receive it. It'll come at just the right time. Have you been in that place where you really needed to hear from the Lord? And you open his word and man, it just spoke to your heart. It's like, Lord, you must be looking over my shoulder because this is exactly what I needed to see. It's exactly what I needed to hear. Thank you, Lord. And that's the blessing promised there. Now, he says he's going to let the rain that's going to fall in its season and to bless all the work of your hand, and you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. So if you're the one that's lending to many nations, and you're not borrowing anything, who's got everything? You have. Because God has blessed you over and over and over. And he says, interesting thing, you shall not borrow because you don't need to. And the spiritual lesson for us is that we don't need to borrow anything from the world. We don't need to borrow their methods or their practices or any of the junk the world has to offer. I don't care how shiny and pretty it looks. We don't need to borrow any of that stuff. We got God's perfect way. You know, why would we settle for less, right? Verse 13, and the Lord will make you, notice what the Lord promises, he will make you the head and not the tail. And somebody had said, you know, the food goes in the head, but the nasty stuff comes out the tail. So you will be of the head and not the tail. The head leads, the tail follows. You shall be above only and not beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, again, there's a qualifier, condition, if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and you are careful to observe them. Again, because we get pretty light around some of those things and say, well, you know, I've done a lot of things, the Lord says. The other stuff, I got to do it my way. The Lord says, no, if you're careful to observe the things that I have told you. So it says in verse 14, you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day to the right or to the left. Just in case we don't know what turn to the side means, don't go to the right, don't go to the left, stay center steering to go after other gods to serve them. So the Lord says, if you go to the right or the left, excuse me, what you're going to be doing, excuse me, got something stuck there, to go after other gods. And this is really important. Maybe that's why I'm getting hit with this right now. This is an extremely important principle. It comes down to God's way, are the way of other gods. The Lord doesn't give any other option here. It's either going to be his way or the way of other gods. And of course, we know who's behind the other gods. The devil is. It's demonic. Okay? So there's no neutral ground. Think this one through. You're either serving God or you're serving the devil. There is no in between. Yeah. So what about just doing things their own way? What if I say, well, Lord, I love you. I just want to do some things my way. According to what the Lord shows us right here, to trust in our own way is to follow the devil. Now think about this. What did the devil get to do? What did he do to Eve back in the garden? He got her to do just that, to trust in her way of thinking rather than what God told her was the right way and the perfect way and the good way. So it really comes down to it's either God's way or the devil's way. Now think about this. This is why, hopefully we see this is why it's so important for a believer to completely surrender to the Lord. Do you see? Because there's only two options. Either you're going to do things God's way or the way of the devil. And man, if you never saw that or thought about that before, that's how deceptive our enemy is. To make it look like, well, you're just kind of in the neutral area. You know, you don't do anything really bad. Yeah, and the enemy lies to us all the time. If we're not doing things God's way, the way we were designed, if we're not doing that, it's sin, and it's because we're following the devil's way. Boy, we don't like to hear that stuff, but this is amazing as the Lord brings it out in this passage. So do you see why the Lord keeps saying here to observe all my commands? Because there's no other option. It's either God's way or the devil's way. So now we can see why the next section, when it comes to the curses, sounds so hard. When you look at these curses, you're going, oh my goodness, Lord, wow. Why are you doing that? Because it's not to not obey the Lord puts us on the side of choosing to be with the enemy. I mean, that's the options here. And that's why these curses that are listed are really for those who are taking the side of the enemy. Look at verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses, how many of them? All these curses will come upon you and overtake you. So they're going to be chasing you down, just like the blessings. Now realize, God gave the blessings first. He gave us the good news. He wants to bless us like crazy. But he also tells us the curses are going to do the same. They're going to overtake you. You won't be able to keep up with it. Cursed shall you be in the city. Cursed shall you be in the country. So everywhere you go, doesn't matter where. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. So you're going to be hungry. Not going to be food on the table. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body. Kids, not many kids. The produce of your land. It's going down. The increase of your cattle, the offspring of your flocks. You're going to have few in number, which means you're not going to be satisfied. It's not going to be enough. That's what he's saying here. Cursed shall you be when you come in. Cursed shall you be when you go out. So you're driving to work. You're being cursed. Driving home. You're being cursed. Mom getting up in the morning, getting things ready in the house, getting herself ready, being cursed. Getting ready for bed at night, being cursed. Wow. This should be scary stuff. Lord say, this is for my enemies. This isn't for my children. It's not what I want. This is how I treat the enemies. And this is the side you choose to be on. Verse 20, the Lord will send on you cursing, confusion, and rebuke in all that you set your hand to. And the rebuke in everything you do means you're not going to do anything right. It's not going to turn out right. It's not acceptable to the Lord. You can't play games and say, well, I did this today, Lord, for you. The rest I did for me, but I did this for you. The Lord doesn't accept that, okay? And that word rebuke means to sharply criticize. So God is pointing, saying, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong. Wow. And he says, until you are destroyed and until you perish quickly. And what's the reason? Because of the wickedness of your doings in which you have forsaken me. Wow. So to forsake the Lord is to choose the devil. It's God's way or it's the devil's way. Everything that's not God's way is motivated by these three things. And you know them as we went through our study in 1 John, as Josh took us through that. What are the three things that motivate us if it's not God's way? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Again, that's what the devil got Eve to do back in the garden. Genesis 3:6 said, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that's the lust of the flesh. She thought, oh man, it would taste good. That would be good. When she saw that it was pleasant to the eyes, it looked pretty, it looked good. That's the lust of the eyes. And a tree desirable to make one wise, that's the pride of life. It says, then she took of its fruit and ate. Motivated by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And there's a really good question we can ask ourselves when we're doing things. Why am I doing this? Am I doing it for the Lord, to bring glory to Him, because that's the way He designed me, because it's the right thing to do, it's a good thing to do? Or is it because it's the lust of the eyes, the flesh, or the pride of life that's motivating me? Verse 21, the Lord will make the plague cling to you until He has consumed you from the land which you're going to possess. Disease, sickness, all kinds of stuff. He's going to cling to you. It's going to consume you. The Lord will strike you with consumption, with fever, with inflammation, with severe burning fever, with a sword, with scorching, and with mildew, and with kidney stones. No, that's not on there, but I tell you, makes you wonder when you're reading through this. They shall pursue you until you perish. Scary thoughts. And your heavens which are over your head shall be bronze, and the earth which is under you shall be iron, so no rainfall. The Lord will change the rain of your land to powder and dust. From the heaven it shall come down on you until you are destroyed. Talking about severe drought. The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies, and you shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. So you're going to run for your lives. And you will become troublesome to all the kingdoms of the earth. Instead of being a blessing, you will be a pain to all the other nations. And unfortunately, we saw Israel went through this because of their disobedience to the Lord. They're still suffering the consequences of being disobedient to the Lord when the Messiah came and offered Himself to Israel. Your carcasses shall be food for all the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth. And look at this. No one shall frighten them away. They won't be able to, because there'll be so many dead bodies and there's no one there to really say, shoo, get away, birds. So much death. The Lord will strike you with the boils of Egypt, with tumors, with a scab, with the itch from which you cannot be healed. No cure. Isn't that a wonderful feeling to go to the doctor and he tells you what's wrong and said, I'm sorry, there's no cure. Wow. The Lord will strike you with madness and blindness and confusion of heart. I think it's because there's not a thing you can do, and you know it. That'll drive you crazy. That'll drive you mad. And you shall grope at noonday as a blind man gropes in darkness. You shall not prosper in your ways. You shall be only oppressed and plundered. For how long? Continually. And no one shall save your life. So there are no heroes. No one is coming. Don't even bother to call for the EMS. They're not coming. There's no one there to help you. No help is on the way. Wow. What a sad thought. We're so spoiled, you know, we can dial 911 and get help. There's no help. When God gets you to this place, He's the only one controlling every single thing. There is no help when you do things your way. Scary, scary. Verse 30, you shall betroth the wife. Oh, great, you're going to get married. But another man shall lie with her. You shall build a house. Great, you got a new house you're having built. But you shall not dwell in it. You shall plant a vineyard, but shall not gather its grapes. So how quickly things can happen, that you have these plans, and you'll never see them. You'll never have it fulfilled. Your ox shall be slaughtered before your eyes. It's your ox. Somebody else is going to kill it and take it. But you shall not eat of it. Your donkey shall be violently taken away from before you. You shall and shall not be restored to you. Your sheep shall be given to your enemies, and you shall have no one to rescue them. No help is on the way. Your sons and your daughters shall be given to another people. They're going to be taken captive, taken away. Your eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all day long. If I could just see my kids again, if I could just talk to them. And there shall be no strength in your hand, meaning there's nothing you can do about it at all. Again, there are no heroes. No one's coming. No help is on the way. Verse 33, a nation whom you have not known shall eat the fruit of your land and the produce of your labor, and you shall be only oppressed and crushed continually. So if you want to know what the United States has to look forward to, because of where we are right now, we're turning away from God. This is our future of a nation that would turn away from the Lord. So you shall be driven mad because of the sight which your eyes see, because you're helpless. The Lord will strike you in the knees and on the legs with severe boils, which cannot be healed, no healing. And from the sole of your foot to the top of your head, pain everywhere, no healing, no cure. Verse 36, the Lord will bring you and the king whom you set over you, your choice, to a nation which neither you nor your fathers have known, and there you shall serve other gods, wood and stone. It's like the Lord saying, you want to serve other gods? Go for it. I'll put you in a place where you can do all of that. You shall become an astonishment, meaning a thing of horror, a proverb, and a byword among all the nations where the Lord your God will drive you, rather than to be honored as the highest nation on earth. You shall carry much seed out to the field, but gather little in, for the locust shall consume it. So all the work you did, eaten up by the locust. You shall plant vineyards, tend them, but you shall neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worms shall eat them. All of that stuff you were hoping for, gone. You shall have olive trees throughout all your territory. Those are pretty sturdy. But you shall not anoint yourself with the oil, and why not? For your olives shall drop off. So nature is not working for you. You know how crazy that is? When you do everything you're supposed to do and it should work and it doesn't work? Man, I'm sure you've been there. How frustrating that is. Lord's saying, that's what I'm showing you, what can happen. You shall beget sons and daughters, but they shall not be yours, for they shall go into captivity. Your family's gone. Locusts shall consume all your trees and the produce of your land. They're just going to take over the place. The alien who is among you shall rise higher and higher above you, and you shall come down lower and lower. He shall lend to you, but you shall not lend to him, because you don't have anything to lend. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail, all given up because of disobedience. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed. And what's the reason? Because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded you. You didn't obey the Lord. And they shall be upon you for a sign and a wonder, and on your descendants for how long? Forever. And that sign there means they'll have a reminder of disobedience. You want to know what disobedience looks like? Look at them. And you think about this. The Bible you have in your hand has recorded for you the disobedience of Israel. As God wanted to bless them and bless them and bless them. And it's still here. That sign is still here. A reminder of what it looks like to disobey the Lord and what it will cost you. Verse 47, because you did not serve the Lord your God. And notice this, with joy and gladness of heart. For the abundance of everything. The Lord said, I brought blessings into your life. And if you're here today, I can assure you God has brought blessings in your life. You may think, wait a minute, I don't have everything I want. He's blessed you. You have a body that gave you strength to be here today. You have lungs that are taking air, and praise the Lord for all those things. Everything that God does for us, so many blessings we overlook. And the Lord says we should be joyful and glad about all those blessings. So, you know, it's a joy to serve the Lord. It doesn't have to be, oh, poor me, I have to live righteous today. I can't sin today. Wow. You know, it's not a horrible thing to serve the Lord. It's a joyous thing. Man, when you see God's blessing, when you notice that God has blessed you, that thrills the socks off of you. Wow. No greater blessing than to serve the Lord. Therefore, verse 48, you shall serve your enemies. If you don't want to serve the Lord, I'll let you serve your enemies. Who's that? That's the devil. Whom the Lord will send against you. Why is that happening to me? God's sending that against you in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, and in need of everything. How many needs do you have today? Everything. Wow. And he will put a yoke of iron on your neck until he has destroyed you. And that iron yoke they'd have to wear is an extremely heavy thing made of iron. The Lord will bring a nation against you from afar, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flies, a nation whose language you will not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which does not respect the elderly, nor show favor to the young. ISIS is all you have to say today to put fear in someone. They have no respect for life. Young or old, no respect. Wow. Man, you think we would wake up one of these days, don't you? and they shall eat the increase of your livestock and the produce of your land until you are destroyed. They shall not leave you grain or new wine or oil or the increase of your cattle or the offspring of your flocks until they have destroyed you. And why? Because God sent them against you. No cure when God does stuff like that. They shall besiege you at all your gates until your high and fortified walls, things they trusted in which you trust, it says, come down throughout all your land, and they shall besiege you at all your gates throughout all your land, which the Lord your God has given you. You can't even secure one gate. You can't even keep one gate that would be safe for them. They couldn't get through. They're coming through it, okay? Yeah, just when you thought it couldn't get worse, verse 53, you shall eat the fruit of your own body. Wait a minute, what do you mean by that? He tells you, the flesh of your sons and your daughters, whom the Lord your God has given you. They were gifts to you. And yet, it says in the siege and desperate straits in which your enemy shall distress you. Can you imagine being brought to such a place of crisis that you would look at your child as possible food to live on? And Israel got to that place. They got to that place. The Lord said it will happen to you, and it did. Because they disobeyed the Lord. Wow. It says the sensitive and very refined man among you will be hostile toward you, toward his brother, toward the wife of his bosom, toward the rest of his children whom he leaves behind. So this is saying the very refined guy. This is the guy who is just the mildest, the best guy you have known. He's got the best character. He wouldn't hurt a fly. And it's going to take this guy to this point. It says he's going to be hostile, meaning he has an evil eye toward his brother, talking family, toward his wife of his bosom, his dear wife, and toward the rest of his children. Can you imagine taking somebody like that to this point? That's how bad it is, the Lord's saying. So that he will not give any of them the flesh of his children whom he will eat. When I kill my child and I eat my child, I will not share it with you. Even his own family. That's how desperate the situation was going to get. Because he has nothing left in the siege and desperate straits in which your enemy shall distress you at all your gates. Verse 56, the tender and delicate woman among you, and this is the very refined woman as well. If you can think of someone who is extremely tender, very feminine, very refined, you know, you'll never see them with a spot on their clothing, who would not venture to set the sole of her foot in the ground because of her delicateness and sensitivity. She will refuse, which means, again, give that evil look to the husband of her bosom. She's not going to share with her husband. To her son, no way. To her daughter, no way. She's not going to share. And what won't she share? 57, her placenta which comes out from between her feet and her children whom she bears. For she will eat them secretly for lack of everything in the siege and desperate straits in which your enemy shall distress you at all your gates. Boy, these are horrible, horrible things to have to see in here, aren't they? I mean, you don't hear this spoken about a lot in church. Because we're thinking, oh, this, you can't talk about that stuff in church. God talks about that stuff. This is how bad things can get without the blessing of the Lord, to fall under his curse. Man, it should give us a fear of the Lord like crazy. We say, Lord, please, please help us obey. Help us to obey. If you do not carefully observe, it says in verse 58, all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God. Then the Lord will bring upon you and your descendants, it's going to go down to your families, extraordinary plagues, great and prolonged plagues. They just don't end. And serious and prolonged sicknesses. There's no cure. They just keep going on and on. Moreover, he will bring on you all the diseases of Egypt, of which you were afraid, and they shall cling to you. Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in this book of the law, stuff you haven't even heard of yet, the Lord says he will bring upon you until you are destroyed. It's like the Lord says, I'm coming at you with everything I've got. Wow. You shall be left few in number, whereas you were as the stars of heaven in multitude. It's not what God intended. It's not what God wanted. He wanted them to be the super huge group of people, blessed on this earth like no one else. And reason, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. When God speaks, you said, no, I'll do it my way. And it shall be that just as the Lord rejoiced over you to do good and multiply you, and he was thrilled to do that, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and bring you to nothing. There's no regret. The Lord says, you made your choice. And I'll rejoice to do justice here, to do what's right. And you shall be plucked from off the land which you go to possess, meaning you'll be torn away from the land. Then the Lord will scatter you among all peoples. It says, from one end of the earth to the other. And there you shall serve other gods, if that's what you want to do, which neither you nor your fathers have known, wood and stone. The picture there of you're going to reap what you have sown. Okay? And you think about Israel, why are they being treated as far as this? Why are the Lord going so far? Because they knew better. God warned them. He told them, I will bless you. But you turn to serve other gods. You turn to the devil instead of me. And here's what you have to look forward to. Scary, scary things. Verse 65, and among those nations you shall find no rest. Even when you're taken to another land, maybe you think you'll get some rest there. No. No rest, nor shall the sole of your foot have a resting place. You ain't going to call that home ever. But there the Lord will give you a trembling heart, failing eyes, and anguish of soul, meaning extreme panic. You'll be in another place, you will be scared. You will experience fear like you probably never experienced it before. Your life shall hang in doubt before you. You shall fear day and night and have no assurance of life. So you won't even be sure if you're going to be alive tomorrow. I don't know if you've ever been in a place like that. Have you ever been someplace that's been so bad you don't even know if you'll live to see tomorrow? The Lord says, that's what it's going to be like. Wow. Verse 67, in the morning you shall say, oh, that it were evening. Just want to get this day over with. And in the evening you're going to say, oh, that it were morning. I just want to get this night over with. The reason is because of the fear which terrifies your heart and because of the sight which your eyes see. Can you imagine being so afraid? Being so gripped with fear. Wow. Scary stuff. And the Lord will take you back to Egypt. I took you out of Egypt. I rescued from there, but I will take you back. I'll take you back in ships. By the way of which I said to you, shall never see it again. He promised him that. And there you shall be offered for sale to your enemies as male and female slaves. But no one will buy you. It's because there are so many slaves, they don't need you. In other words, you're worthless. You are worthless. Even as a slave, nobody even wants you. Wow. Now, scary, scary picture there. Like I said, the Lord lays it right side by side. Here's blessing. If you want it, here's how to get there. Here's cursing. It's your choice. Yeah. The thing is, to love sin more than righteousness is very costly. That's what God wants us to see here. Somebody said this about the devil, because the Lord made it clear in here, it's either his way or the devil's way. There is no in between. You can't just claim, well, I didn't know. I'm just going to live neutral. No, you know now. We went through this passage. You know, okay? Somebody said this about sin and the devil. Sin is so deceitful. It lies to us. One of the scariest lies it tells us is that you're different, and these things don't apply to you. You can sin. And you can get away without any horrible consequences. These are lies, the devil tells us. You'll come out unscathed. You can handle it because you're not like everybody else who can't handle it. You can handle it and keep it small in your life. And it won't grow and take over your life or become more dangerous. You're special. Sin says that you can let it in your life. And it'll be good to you. And just stay in this one small area. It won't take over your whole life. These are lies. They're all lies. And yet, we believe the lies. We hear them. We think, I can handle that. God tells us that you cannot handle that. Okay? How many casualties of Christians do we know who have given up the blessings of their life because they chose to allow sin in a small way to enter in their life? Some have gone to their grave in that very sad state. Sin is serious, and this makes this passage even more painfully clear. Okay? For us, we might need to read this passage over a few more times in our devotions in the coming week or weeks to help sober us up. And if you have the thought of, I don't want to read this passage again, you probably need it more because the devil's hoping you don't read it again. He doesn't want you to meditate on that. But as believers, we have such a blessed opportunity, okay? And even the lost person to hear about the blessing and the cursing that can come from the Lord, and it's our choice. There is a solution. There is hope. There is a cure. And it only comes from God. You can repent. You can turn from the way you were going. Say, Lord, I don't want to go that way anymore. Help me to turn. You can confess to the Lord. Lord, I have sinned. I have done this my way, and it was the devil's way. It was not your way. It was not the way you created me. I have been in sin. And you can surrender to the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm so sorry. I take this life that you have blessed me with, you have given me. I give it back to you again, Lord. And use it for your glory. It's for you. We're stopping right here today. Again, the good news is in Jesus Christ. He paid for everything on the cross. He took care of every single thing on the cross. That's why at the end he said, it is finished. It's paid in full. And you know, we have the resurrection day coming. I look so forward to that. It's an awesome day. We have signs of the resurrection already. Have you seen them? You know, as you see the flowers popping out of the ground, signs of the resurrection. What appeared to be dead all winter has life now. It's come back to life. I love this time of year as it gives us those signs of the resurrection. When Jesus was resurrected, it proved that God accepted his sacrifice, that he said, it is done. Amen to that. So he prays the Lord that if you receive Christ, you have received forgiveness of your sins. They are completely wiped out. God does not remember them anymore. He doesn't hold them against us. My brother and sister in Christ, these things we saw today are warnings to us that God does not take sin lightly. And for us as believers, we should say, I don't ever want to follow the ways of the devil. I only want to follow the ways of the Lord. If you're here today, I encourage you to repent. That's what God's calling us to. Repent. Turn to the Lord. Say, Lord, I've been playing with this thing, thinking I could handle it, that it's not. It's, I got this. And Lord says, you don't have anything, but you got trouble coming your way. He's not going to curse us to destroy us, but he will discipline us. He can do that for his children. He loves us too much not to discipline us. So he prays him for the discipline. If you go through a time of disciplining, say, Lord, I accept this. I know you're getting my attention. I know you're working on me. I know you're bringing me to yourself and everything you're doing. And I love what J. Vernon McGee said. If you remember ever hearing him say this, he said, you know, if you're ever getting a spanking from your mom or dad when you were a kid, if you tried to pull away, you got the full swing. But if you drew close, they couldn't get you as much. Think about that. When we're under the discipline of the Lord, draw close. Draw close. Best place to be. Let's pray. Father, if there's someone here today and they don't know Jesus, I pray today. I pray you woke them up to their need for a Savior. Lord, for those of us who are your children, you love us so much. You accept us with our faults and our failures. And we thank you for that, Lord. Father, I thank you that you're a restoring God. You love to reconcile. You love to bring things together. You love to fix things. And Lord, we pray that you'd take our life and fix us right now. If anyone is here today, Lord, and the devil's been lying to them, and even now if he's lying, saying it doesn't apply to them, Lord, I pray you'd break through that lie and let them know it directly applies to them, to each of us. Thank you for your mercy where you don't give us what we deserve. And we thank you for your grace, which you show us kindness that we don't deserve either. And we just want to offer ourselves to you right now, Lord, that we confess we are sinners, Lord, and we surrender to you. Thank you that Jesus paid for our sins, and you told us as we confess, you just clean us up. You wash us, Lord. You cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We praise you and thank you for that, Lord. Lord, I pray you'd help each one that's here today. You brought all this for a reason. That was the answer to prayer, Lord, and we give you the praise. Please help those who couldn't be with us today. Encourage them, strengthen them, Lord. And we thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.